Welcome to the Tabletop Treehouse, our dice tray in a tree.
Ah!
Chris, it's great to see you again.
Yeah, I'm Chris, by the way.
Oh, this is Chris. I'm Dennis.
Yay! We got these three new doors.
Yes, three brand new doors to inspect. Always something fun to find. Which one do you think we should go through today?
I think I like the Swiss cheese door because I know what it's all about, even though it makes no sense to anybody who's watching.
I know where this is going to go. Mm-hmm, all right, yeah, mm-hmm. let's dive in, take a slice.
We'll be right back. That was a lot of cheese.
Yeah, that was...
So much cheese.
It was a very interesting way to take a... It was some great choices.
Mm-hmm.
Great choices, some very inventive play.
As we do here at the Treehouse, we start with a story, and then that story will transition into what our topic is. Our story is about Grendel the Milkmaid, the Shiorgan from Dennis's one-off... And it wasn't one session, but one-off adventure from our Rapscallion game, because we're talking about more Rapscallion today.
Yeah, so Chris runs the kind of overarching game, and I was running essentially one shot that took, I think, three sessions.
It did.
Of the alternate crew, their kind of side crew, to go off onto an exploration mission for something for the main group that they wanted.
True.
Yeah.
It's not your fault that it took three sessions.
We only play
for like 2.5 hours,
man. I kind of always plan for that with one shots, unless I'm really, really sticking to my guns. And I'm like, no, we're here for 4 hours. We're getting it done.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm like, yeah, well, this will roll over.
Yeah. I know a lot of people think of one shots as being one session, but for me, a one shot is like, we're going to play this one short story.
Right. This, you know, this vignette.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Grendel the Milkmaid is our Shiorgan goat alchemist, played by Katie. Man.
So one of Katie's things is she likes to name all her characters after a cheese.
And this one wasn't named after cheese.
And it wasn't named after a cheese because it was already an NPC.
Uh-huh.
And she could have made up her own character, but she really liked the idea of Grendel the Milkmaid. And dove right into him.
So, we mentioned last week that I was playing Pooter and my leg was missing because our Shiorgan had gotten it as one of those questions. We read them last week. The question was, "What you lost? Somebody lost something, I think. Well, who did you save from certain death?" That was the first one. And who has one less choose one finger, eye, or leg because of you? And in my case, I was like, I volunteered to have my leg be gone. And that leg got turned into a cheese homoculi.
Right, because one of the other, I believe it's one of the playbook moves you can take, which you can take from your creating the character at the start, is homunculus.
Mm-hmm.
You do some alchemy and other stuff. And, well, we cheese flavored it on top of whatever flavors inherent in the move. But
horrifying.
Yes, it was effective.
It did a lot of this.
It really did have a kill me vibe.
Yeah, it was a very sad cheese homunculus. So that happened because of the questions in the playbook and then the homunculus move that was chosen that we just talked about.
Yeah.
That's how we ended up with that cheese homunculus from my character's leg.
Right. I mean, something that, you know, I don't know would have immediately come to anyone's mind had the, you know, questions and, you know, flavor been there already.
That's true. That's true. So because of that, today we're going to talk about playbooks. I hope you're all interested in that because that's basically the characters.
Yeah, this is who you are as a player. There's a lot, you know, inherent within the playbook itself, but you get a whole lot of customization yourself. And mm-hmm. then obviously you can flavor anything to your own, you know, desires and extent, you know, within your GM's purview.
Yeah, and we will use the Shiorgan as our example since we have it open in the Rapscallion book, which you can see. Oh, look, it's right here. Look, oh, Dennis brought it out. Yay. Thanks, Dennis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, our map, which I put in the episode, is now on the table, which you can't really get a great look at it, but, you know, this is what the map looks like size-wise when we're sitting in front of it.
It's very fun. It's mostly colored in at this point. We're going to have to start, like, really just highlighting things.
Mm-hmm. We'll just let Katie put details on it.
Yeah.
And then anybody else who wants to put stuff on there.
More unknowns to find.
So your characters, let's do a playbook breakdown. That's what we're doing. So luck and harm. So luck, how you get it, what it does is you get luck equal to your Spitfire if you don't have that much at the beginning of a session. And what it does is it provides you with a +1 to a roll before you roll, or you can use it to fuel certain moves.
Yeah, the Twist Fate move, which is a real lot of fun. The short and dirty version of it is you can essentially spend one luck to include something in a scene that maybe wasn't there already. And there's specific wording to it. You have an item in your pocket that you didn't realize was there. Yep. There's a unexpected opportunity in the scene.
Yep. Or an NPC shows up out of nowhere to save you.
You know, kind of Deus Ex Machina style.
Uh-huh. If you spend one luck, you get to put that out there. If you spend two luck, then you get to actually answer the question. Right. Otherwise, the Fates or the Game Master gets to answer that question.
Which, you know, and depending on, you know, how the story's going at that point, that definitely leaves the Game Master an opportunity to, you know, weigh the scales one way or the other if the need is there.
It's true.
Yeah.
Harm is the amount of damage you can take before you are taken out of the scene. You have to make the last breath or the death move in the game. Yeah. It's not a lot. Like, some characters have, like, 3 or 4, and some characters have, like, 5 or 6. And once you have to make that move, then you get black and you succeed. If you roll 6 minus, you're dead. But if you're rolling that 7 and 9, you get to make a deal with death, and death's like a real thing. It'll show up. And then you get a black mark, and every time you have to roll that move in the future, the number of black marks that you have subtract from that roll. So you got 2 black marks, it's roll 2d6 minus the black marks.
And you still have to beat that threshold, yeah.
That ties to your last words.
Right. And that's something unique with all the playbooks as well. Essentially,
the point is when you die, when you actually die, you, or when you've gotten to that point, you can, there's last words and it gives you a choice. Why don't you read the last words from the Chiragon?
So last words for the Chiragon are, perform desperate surgery on yourself and take a trouble titled barely alive, parentheses, die. You cling to life. What ghastly mark does it leave upon you? So that's an option to keep going in your last words, but, or in your last moments, but kind of as a different character, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
The other option is, given with grace, all crewmates who stand vigil for your death heal 1 harm, or ultimately without grace, and then you get to describe what terrible medical abomination you've left behind.
So you do actually die, but you get to tell somebody that you left this terrible thing behind.
Yeah, either you die, you know, with peace and grace, and all your crewmates around you feel a little better after that, you know, standing vigil watching over you, or nobody pays attention to you, you die with ignominy, and you leave a horrible cheese homunculus behind.
It feels like it's legitimately that scene from Star Trek, went to the Wrath of Khan when they send Spock off in the tube. For if you're too young to know what that is, just go watch Wrath of Khan. It's a great movie.
Wrath of Khan's probably the best Star Trek movie there is.
Probably the best submarine movie ever made.
Mm.
If you ever, I know that makes no sense to some people, but go watch it. There's like a submarine fight in a nebula.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, space fights are just sea fights in a bigger space.
Well,
right?
they're fighting a nebula where they can't see each other. That's why.
That's why it feels. Oh yeah, there's all that. They're doing like the radar sounding.
That's why it feels like a submarine fight. It was modeled that way. It's pretty neat. Cool. So then there's experience on your character sheet. There's advances. What are the advances that people can get?
So the general advances, I believe, are...
Well, while you're looking that up, I know that one of them is that you can get +1 to one of your stats.
Yes.
That can only happen 3 times, though, and you can't go higher than 3 in any stat.
One of the other options is you can choose another playbook move. Everyone starts with whatever their character is given, you know, just outright. Like, this Chiragon starts with both surgery and alchemy, then gets to pick one at character creation, with your advances, you can choose to pick another one of these, such as healing salves or miskatonic or saboteur. Yeah, just giving you different opportunities to kind of customize your character and take it in a direction, you know, that you want to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't want to create a cheese homunculus.
Maybe you don't.
Maybe you actually want to help your crew and heal them.
Maybe you do.
And not saying that, you know, Grendel the Milkmaid wasn't able or willing to do that, but... The cheese homunculus was the focus.
That's true. The alchemy move is you roll at the beginning of the day and you have a hold, and then you get to use that hold to pick a small number of selections from a list of selections that you can utilize during the day.
Yeah, it's got like stink bombs, poisons, super glue. That's fun.
A vial of super glue. That's really fun.
Always something interesting when you're advancing your character. I believe another one is you can choose to increase a bond.
Yes, that's true.
Yes.
That was the one that I was missing.
Yeah, yeah.
Then there are belongings.
It gives some amount of flavor and some utility to your character. For the Chiragon here, you have a choice between 3. One kind of, you know, I would say kind of decks you out more as almost a butcher type looking yeah. character. One's a little bit fancier, maybe more of a doctor or like almost a Jack the Ripper type thing going on here. And that's
the kit, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. The fancier one, you're carrying a quarter staff with concealing a small blade. You have a medical degree, you know, yada, yada, yada. The last one is more of a cook.
Yes.
And that's kind of what you based Pooter off of, if I'm not mistaken.
And then I custom built a thing so it wasn't exactly like the Shire game.
Yeah, we didn't want to play two playbooks. Not that you couldn't, especially if everybody's picking, you know, different things.
Plus, it gave me a chance to design something. I like doing that.
Yeah, Chris is very comfortable, you know, putting things together and keeping it within the game parameters.
Yeah,
so,
I made a support character. So.
Exactly. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I mean, I already had the ability to harness fire from a thing that happened in game earlier than that. So.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's your kit. There's a space in the front of the character sheet for your belongings, so when you pick up more stuff over the course of time. Then you put your name and your look. And your look are like what your eyes look like, what kind of your clothes look like. There's just a few things like that that you get to pick from just to customize a little bit more. And then you can, of course, just do whatever you want with that too.
Well, yeah, and that, you know, can obviously change over the course of the game too. Like, mm-hmm. you might start as a down on your luck pirate, but then end up, you know, fancy sea captain.
Yep, absolutely. We talked about moves already. We talked about the kit already. Well, let's talk about oddities.
Yeah.
So oddities are how you get your stats, and then you get to add one on top of that, and then it also gives you some narrative focus and abilities.
Right. I would say it's the most equivalent to a subclass if you want to make that kind of, you know, juxtaposition or comparison. It kind of narrows the focus of the Chiurgan as a whole to a path that, you know, also has a lot of options behind it.
Yeah, between that and the kit, it gives you a real kind of like look and feel and tone to your character.
The three options for the Chiurgan are Barrow Doctor.
Uh-huh.
You belong to a medical order with a dark mission that you're compelled to follow. Jack of the Dust, you're the ship's chief alchemist. It's cook. When you make the crew a good meal, you can spend hold from your alchemy to, you know, do stuff for your crewmates. Lastly, you could be a white. You're neither alive nor dead.
I love that.
You can't be compelled to be done for. And you take a +2 to denying death. So, you know, if you want to play one of those characters who really rides the edge of life and death, the Chiurgan White might be right up your alley.
It's +1 to denying death. But yes, same deal.
Oh, what did I say? Sorry.
2. That's fine.
Oh.
No worries.
That was me just trying to, you know, sneak one in for next time I play a white.
I thought that was cool, actually. I'm like, +2 to denying death? That's kind of awesome. It made sense to me. That's why when I looked, I'm like, oh, that's weird.
But yeah, so they kind of, yeah, essentially give you this bit of narrative focus as well as mechanical effect.
Mm-hmm. And it also gives you your starting stats.
Right, correct.
And it is an order of blood, vinegar, polish, and spitfire. So like if you're a Barrow Doctor, you get a -1 to your blood, a +2 to your vinegar, a +1 to your polish, and a -1 to your spitfire.
So in game terms, that basically means you're a kind of quick-witted, quick talker.
Yep.
You're not very strong. You're not super tuned into the magical or weird energies of this world.
Mm-hmm. Here are the stats again. Blood is when you face danger, make trouble, or act daring. Vinegar is when you fight dirty, outsmart your enemies, know things you shouldn't. Polish is when you talk your way in and out of trouble. Jack Sparrow has a +3 to that. Spitfire is when you twist fate and unleash magical powers.
Right. There you go.
And then, you get, like I said, you get to add one to one of those things to just customize a little bit more on top of that.
We'll be back after a word from our fantasy ad sponsor.
Did you burn up the last of your thistlewort in your crucible? Blink Dog Couriers can get it to you now before your potion turns sour. Is your nemesis camped out on your lawn? Our Blink Dogs can get you what you need to get you on your feet and back in the fight. Blink Dog Courier Service. We might be expensive, but we'll be there in the blink of an eye. Blink Dog Couriers. We're already outside your house.
We talked a little bit about this last time, but the last thing is the questions.
Right.
Let's pick a different playbook since we did the Shiurgan ones last time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll go through the questions again for that.
Oh, well, you know, let's do the Chronicle.
Sure, you do have this one. It's great.
Yeah. So, I play Jeeves. Jeeves Boolean is his full name. Bit of a pun there for those in the know. He's a chronicler. He's really likes reading books, finding books, keeping a log of things with as much Leviathan ink as he can. And the questions that I got to pick was, pick one thing that you write. You either write histories, fantasies, or songs.
I think you wrote histories, right?
I believe I chose histories, which allowed me to add two secret mythic things to the map.
Yeah. And I think we've been to both places already, maybe?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure one was Shipwreck with Treasure. Was definitely one of mine. Yeah. And then there's another one on that side of the map that I can't remember what it was called.
I don't even know if we went to that one yet, but you actually sent Joe to go get this one. Joe is an NPC that is captaining the At All.
Correct.
And they sent Joe to go get this Shipwreck with Treasure, which he got it with his crew.
Yeah.
It was his first actual official mission as a captain.
Yeah, that was after we had rescued him and then obtained the Et al and then gave Joe command of it.
Mm-hmm.
The next questions were, in addition to your kit, you have a magnum opus, only half written. Completing this will take a great deal of power. The question then is, what do you need to finish it, and what will it do when it's done? So the books in Rapscallion, as we kind of mentioned before, they're very powerful, particularly those with Leviathan ink.
Mm-hmm.
They can do magical things, and or they can summon djinn, which also can then do magical things or kind of turn on you and your party depending on how things go.
Oh, no, we wouldn't want that.
But yeah, so this gives you an opportunity to kind of build your own character's sort of end goal or like, you know, maximum piece of power sort of thing. It's a bit of a MacGuffin for both you and the GM.
Yeah, because you're an arc, right? Yeah. It's just something to strive for.
Right.
I think you needed Leviathan ink for sure.
Well, yeah, you definitely. I think that's a guarantee regardless. I need Blood of a Sea Witch.
Blood of a Sea Witch, which you got if I remember correctly.
Yes, she actually bargained it with me.
Uh-huh.
I think the last is just like old writings, isn't it?
I think so.
And that's why I'm always after the periodicals.
Mm-hmm. So you can basically make your periodical magnum opus.
Yes.
A survey of magazines.
Yeah, a look through time, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
The third question, you often flee into a world of words. Why or what do you wish to escape?
Do you remember what your answer was?
I think for Jeeves, I did put like social pressure or something along those lines.
Think so. It was like a year and a half ago.
Yeah. We've been playing this game quite a while now.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that just gives a bit of something for maybe your GM to lean on if, you know, they want to pressure you in a situation, something that maybe you stand your ground on, something like that. The fourth question, who is the only crewmate that you've opened up to since joining the crew and then take a bond with them? So generally, all of the playbooks have at least one question, if not more, where you'll be creating bonds with either your crewmates, the ship, or NPCs of your choice.
Mm-hmm. Let's dip real quick into the playbook move for the chronicler, the wordsmith.
Yeah. It's one of the more involved ones, I would say.
It is very involved.
It requires a little back and forth with you and your GM. You have to figure some things out. You can decide to start writing a book at any point during the game, whether it's your magnum opus or something else. And you kind of, again, talk with, I keep saying GM, but in Rapscallion, they're called the Fates, the Game Master.
It's me.
The three Fates cackling at their cauldron. But yeah, so you talk with the Fates about what you want this book to be about, what you'll do with the book when you read it aloud, like what its magical powers would be, and the Fates will give you a quest essentially to complete it. Mm-hmm. Certain things you need or things you must experience, things the book must be made from. And then when you finish the book, you can roll plus Spitfire, essentially the weird stat, and on a hit, you can use the book's magic. You know, there's a little bit more stuff in there rules-wise, but once you've created that agreement with your GM, if you roll well enough, it does what it does.
That's true. I think we actually rolled your magnum opus book into one of these wordsmith quests.
Yes.
It was really fun to do. Yeah. And it just kind of fits. That's why it's pretty neat. Which other move have you taken? Did you take Lorekeeper?
At the start, I took Lorekeeper, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's when you encounter a new land, creature, or phenomenon, spend one luck to learn a story you've heard about it. This story contains or reveals a secret truth. Mark Book Fever to know exactly what it is. Book Fever is your vice.
Right, so essentially, if I wanted to use this as we sail to a new island, I could know at least the basis or the rumors of some kind of secret. And then if I wanted to know everything, I could dive into my books and be useless to my crew until I solved that vice.
Yeah, because Book Fever, which we should just flip over here and check it out, You can be compelled by the fates to retreat into your books to escape problems. That's what it says. When you
No, don't tell me.
He did it once. It was great. It was really fun.
It can be a very effective move. Like, no, I need the sanity and the rule and the order.
My favorite thing about it, though, is when you abandon the needs of the crew while doing this, mark one experience point and gain one bomb with the book you've retreated into, which now contains a djinn. Spend one bond with this djinn to use the book's powers freely without rolling, conditions, or consequence.
Yeah.
Normally, when you want to use one of your djinn, you have to parlay with it. And, you know, that can get a little risky. And then, you know, that's what you do instead of unleashing its power.
If you want to make a deal with your djinn, you have to speak with it and make a deal. It's not just, you know, controlling it. Whereas if you're willing to spend those bonds, if you have those bonds to spend, you have a little bit more control and say in the matter.
That has led to some interesting stuff, like splitting time with your djinn outside the book. Like the djinn got to possess your body while you were stuck in the book for periods of time.
Yeah, we had a bit of a timeshare thing going on.
Except that djinn's dead now.
Yeah. I kind of forgotten about that.
That's why I haven't brought it up, because that djinn died.
Yeah, in that explosion, right?
Yep.
Yeah, in the library.
Yeah, there was an explosion in a library on a turtle, and not that one, the one at the Coral City.
Yes, at the Coral. Yeah, when we first got there.
The poor djinn was gone then.
Yeah.
You didn't have access to anywhere, because those djinn are pretty powerful. This game has got some pretty over the top kind of things, which I'm 100% down for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's easy to lean into this kind of stuff.
All right. I'm glad that we highlighted that stuff. I wanted to do that because it's really fun and how it creates storytelling, and then it has usability to it for the player in the game. But yeah, that's a playbook. That's how you make characters. That's how you play the game. Like, that's how you get stuff into the game from your playbook.
Yeah, it gives both you personally hooks, to go forward from. It gives you customization, you know, in almost every section. And then on top of it, it gives the GM or the Fates a lot of ways to get their fingers into you if need be. Mm. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's pretty good for this episode, right?
I think that's going to cover it for playbooks.
Well, thank you all so much for being here this week. If you want to talk to us some more, you know, check out our Discord. I'll have a link in the doobly-doo below. There's my Matt Koval reference for the week. You can also join our Patreon.
You only get one.
You can just join it for free. If you want to get the podcast that way, you can. If you don't want to watch the video stuff on YouTube, watch the video stuff on YouTube.
YouTube's better. Mm-hmm. I think the quality is better, right, everyone?
Yeah, it's so much better. If you do join our Patreon and actually give us some amount of money every month, you can get a PDF of the magic item. This week it's...
Blink Dog Courier.
Yep, Blink Dog Courier. Our Blink Dog's around somewhere.
Blinking around.
Yeah, you probably saw the commercial earlier about Blink Dog Courier Services.
Rico's a very good and effective blink dog.
Mm-hmm. Prettiest blink dog I've ever seen. Blink dogs aren't exactly what I would call cuddly most of the time.
No, I think he's a unique, unique aspect of them.
Yeah, yeah. He actually has fur.
And isn't, like, slavering at the jaws, yeah.
If you would like to buy some merch from us, any of the things, like the shirts that we are wearing, we have color designs and black and white designs instead of just black line design. You can go to our Redbubble store. There's also a link on the website to that, tabletoptreehouse.com.
Yeah, get some stickers, get some pogs. I don't know if they actually sell pogs, but that'd be cool if they still did.
They don't sell pogs, as far as I can tell, unfortunately. Well, with that,
you can get a sticker and make a pog.
With that, everybody, thank you so much for being here. We'll catch you next time.
Have a safe trip down the ladder, folks. Always great to see you.